Yeah, this is totally random. When Paulette spoke, and it was just so on my heart. And if you understand the oyster, but it's living water that we're living in, and I just saw the storms of that. The storm is causing that water to move, but it's the living water that we have to get all our nutrients from. So, but that oyster has to open up to allow that living water to go through, that the oyster can grow. And but also it has to risk to open that a grain of sand or something's going to come in and rock it, and it's going to be irritating. But that sand, the Lord allows us to change that thing into a beautiful pearl. So don't fight those things. Know that if you're taking in the living water, all will be good, because God's plan is much bigger than what we can see. And then I think of James. Count it all joy when trouble comes your way. Let it be an opportunity for your character to grow. And look at that pearl that grows from that character. So thanks, Paulette. It was just, I just had this picture the whole time. It's beautiful. Anyway, just building as in with few. And it's been an interesting journey. And to me, within our com, where I saw things, and perhaps you feel at times you incompetent and you don't know where you're going, but trust in the Lord. And I had four words or letters come up, words, and I realized it's spelled best, B-E-S-T. And it's a best building, best whatever. And even in the songs this morning, there were things B for believing God, but also build properly. E is to encourage. You cannot stop encouraging. See the good in everybody around you. Forget about the warts and the whatever. There's so much good in everyone. And those pearls growing, now that I think of that. And then support. Support each other in whatever way, like the disciples did. Get together, support one another in whatever way it is. But then there's another part of it. Stop believing the lie of the enemy. Stop trusting that the enemy is bigger than we are. And when you get called and asked to just share or lead, stand up, be counted. Get up and be ready to say, Lord, I trust you. And then that's a T. Trusting Lord, the Lord, that he will carry you through. T is for truth. And also then, obviously, the Holy Spirit leading us with everything we do. And therein is the strength. It's not us leading because we're so great and we're gifted or whatever it is. It's nothing like that. It's what God is allowing in us and through the Holy Spirit, and we just have to trust him. So thank you.
Martin, before you go, we can talk about Jock and Elna because they're not here. I was just excited to see, you know, some of the guys coming out of your community and in a sense starting community in a different home or different venue. And how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, that's part of the miracle taking place at the moment in the com. They've just opened their hearts. And that's another thing. Yes, they spoke to me about many things. They're fearful, all of us. But they didn't let that overcome to say, our house is open. We're willing to help when there's an overflow. And too many people in this time in a home, how do we handle it? Their hands were up the whole time. So they're there. We've already started a round robin where we share in the comms. So and the growth. And then taking that responsibility. Suddenly there's just been a spark in Jock specifically. I got a message from him late last night. He is so excited. So there's been a responsibility that they stood up for. But now he's taking that baton and he's running with it. And that is really, really exciting to see.
Give Jock a hand who's not here. And Elna. Mr. Carlitz, I'm very excited to see two couples, I think, coming out of your community that are, in a sense, we're not saying planting it. They were using words like facilitating. So obviously you're on a journey with them. But I'm very excited about just what's coming out of your community. And there are many. And I think building well with a few is realizing that God wants relationship. God wants people that know how to find him and can be found by God and can find God with others. And so we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, that they built well with a few, and they had the greater meetings coming together, which is a great limitation for us right now. But we saw that building well with a few being modeled as they went from house to house. So it's a very exciting time for us. Don't get left out. It's an opportunity. Some other things. I wanted to thank whom you call Darby Brunt. I call him David. And he's really been an anchor for us. He's done a lot of work in the behind the scenes. And I just want to let you know, because a lot of people ask me, why do I call him David? Let me give you quickly a one or two liner. Is because we're a community and we know each other. Some of us know each other for 20 years. And let's face it, we generally get to know someone. And when God shifts them on, it's very hard for us to shift along with God. Well, sometimes it is. And so what happens is when God shifts someone, it's very good for us all to shift. And so I've seen a shift in him, and I can see what God's been doing in his life. But I'm aware that we know him so well, and Davi's Davi. And so I've been calling him David to see that shift and to actually, in a sense, work with the Lord. So you don't have to start calling him David. But it'd be good for you to find out what is the shift in him so you can receive what God's doing in him. Because often what happens is when we see someone a certain way and we don't change, we can't receive what God's doing in them. And we actually become part of the hindrance and not part of the answer. So it might be good for you to not call him David, but you can. But it'd be good for you to see what God's doing in him for you to receive him afresh so that we can all move forward. You with me? That's great news. And someone else who's moving forward is Hannes. As you have learned, he has been freed from discipline. And he's no longer under discipline. He's come through well. So there's been a lot of different voices for him. And I want to say he's been through, him and Mariska have really gone through a trial of the Lord, and a good trial, but of the Lord, not only looking at the reason why he was disciplined initially, but looking at his whole heart and sifting him. And I want to say that I'm seeing him leading towards where God wants to take him. It's been encouraging for us as an eldership and for others. Unfortunately, we're not going to be appointing him as an elder this morning because Will, who has got cancer or is recovering from cancer, we're not sure what it is, wants to do all the guys together on the 24th of March online. So we are postponing once again. I think he's had about 3 or 4 postponements. So the Lord's really, I think he's on the meat desk and someone's tenderizing him with those big choppers. He's really been worked. And I've also heard that Mike will be coming on board for that. So you haven't maybe heard that, but Mike Davies be reappointed. And that's very exciting. And what we will do is we do want to, and I use the word concern very carefully because concern is a loaded word. But there are some things that we'll work through with Mike relationally for the church to receive him well and for him to be received by us well and for his family. And we want to see a whole new era of time just for the Davies family and for their gift towards us. And I've also seen massive changes, just in what God's doing in their hearts. And so some of you aren't aware of those changes. We will share with you in the coming weeks, but he'll also be reappointed and established. And I've heard, I think, as an elder and as a directing elder. So that's also going to be very exciting for us. So I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover in terms of admin. I want you to open your Bibles. This is a church, eh? I think I'm going to stand over here because that's probably a little pulpit for me. And it's 5 to 10, Hannes. So you can just be honest with me. When does the next group arrive?
They'll be arriving from quarter past 20 minutes.
So should we aim at 15 minutes? Okay? Yeah. So it means it's not going to be one of those great preachers where it's got a story, a theme and a story, and then how to apply it to your life. It's not going to be one of those, okay? But it's going to be something. You ready? Okay, let's go. So we're looking at the book of Colossians. And just to remind you, we ended off last year with Paul saying, follow me, imitate me as I follow Christ, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we've given you. And we know that Christianity and the way we live is not random. It's actually intentional, and there's a recognizable way we live. And so we're going to be looking at Colossians, who's also been written by Paul, and we're going to continue our journey of growing from how he builds and how he looks to God and just aligning ourselves to build well with a few. So you're ready. I was invited for pizza a few nights ago, and I won't mention the guy's name, but he was telling us that he went to go and visit Will Murray. And Will's got hundreds of books, if not thousands of books. And one of the books caught his eye, and it's a book just above Will's head. I know that Will probably sits in the same place and has people sitting in the same place when people come visit him. He's one of those guys that likes to have his ducks in order. And the title of the book was Christian Sex. It's quite an interesting name. It's like, you know, it's like I thought about it when I heard it. I was thinking, like, it's like a weird name in some ways. Like, who says Christian, like, Christian sex? Like, is it very different? Or what is it? What do they mean by Christian sex? Like saying, like, Christian business. You know, I'd rather, like, word it this way and go, like, you know, business that's been influenced by God or business. But anyway, and I made a comment, and there were a couple of young people around there as we were talking about Christian sex and this book. And it's like they just scattered. I won't also look at anyone, but they scattered. It was like a dirty word. And I think it has become a dirty word, and I am going somewhere with this. It has become a dirty word, but often we lose the intention of the Lord, which is, besides sex being very pleasurable, and bonding the right people together, especially when it's in marriage, and for recreational or procreational purpose, let me get that right, it's got real reward in it. There's real purpose in it. Though it's been considered a dirty word. Now I want you to help me quickly. This might go south. Are there any dirty words that you know in church, not linked to sex, but other words in church that are sort of like when you hear that word, it's got a certain leaning to it, and you miss the reward or the purpose of the word?
Submission.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, okay. That's not this week's preach, but yeah, submission, it is. Any other words out there that are you think are like have got a real little taste to them that can be a bit bitter? Tithes, okay. Tithes, can someone just mark that? We just need to make a memory of that one, okay? So we have Mike Radigan on tithes. Anyone else? Offense, discipline, very good.
Slaves,
there, yeah. We're getting closer. Oh, man, your accountability. That's also a terribly dirty word.
Commitment,
there you go. Forgiveness. Okay, guys, look here. It's running. Oh, it starts with an R.
Religion.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Sacrifice
doesn't start with an R, but yeah, yes, good. I heard repentance. So that word, yeah, it's definitely a dirty word in the church, and I want to look at that word and just redefine it a little bit with you. So get those Bibles open. Where are we again? Okay. Colossians 2, verse 6. 10 minutes. Okay. Help us, Lord. Therefore, this is the book of Colossians, Paul speaking. As you receive Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So as you received him, walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So here we have Paul saying, in the same way you receive Christ, continue in him. There's certain foundations in our faith that we never outgrow. There's certain attributes of how we walk out our God, which were birthed in the beginning, but we never outgrow them. And one of those is repentance. I can't go there for the sake of time, but remember Acts 42, and that's really building well with a few. Before that verse, 38 and 36, around there somewhere, Peter preaches the gospel to those listening for the first time, and they said, well, what should we do? And he says, repent, believe, receive forgiveness, receive the Holy Spirit, and your sins will be forgiven. And it says that God called them all to himself. So it's part of our very foundations, this word repentance. Just quickly, what does it mean? Well, it means a change of mind. It means turning towards, or turning from, towards, and looking to God. And the change of mind is not just about sin, but it's ongoingly, because we constantly are being transformed in how we see God. We're constantly being transformed in turning from and turning towards. We look to God. Just to give you some handles, I find that that it's very valuable for us to be captured by God Himself. It's valuable to see salvation in ongoing new light, to see God's forgiveness afresh over and over again, to actually see the work that God is doing and who God is. And as we look, we get filled with who He is. We get transformed. We get captured. And it's not just about overcoming sin. It's God. You know what's interesting for me is verse 38. I think it's in the ESV. It says that God called them to Himself. Most of us start off with verse 42. They devoted. But that is the response. That is the response to a mighty encounter with the living God. Verse 38 is crucial for verse 42. And so even now we see, and Paul's encouraging the church to continue the NIV, but so walk in Him, to continue walking in, being captured by God, turning to Him, living in ongoing repentance. I love Acts 11 verse 18 says, repentance unto life. Amen. Repentance unto life. So I want to encourage you, church, this walking in Him takes ongoing turning from and to. Just for the sake again of time, I found people often miss this part about repentance. We also turn from our good deeds and the goodness of our own hearts in a healthy way. What I mean is, in the light of salvation, nothing counts. It's only His work that counts. So even the things we get right, we don't lean on them. We're not good people who got saved. The Bible calls us enemies of God. So we were the ungodly are the ones that actually get saved. You know, often I think we come into the salvation maybe with a faulty foundation of thinking, yeah, I'm a good person, but obviously we all sin and therefore I want to trust Christ. No. It takes a revelation to see your fallenness and how much you need a Savior. And so our foundation is not good people who needed a Savior. Our foundation is we all fell radically short. And yet God values us and wants to be a redeemer. And so we turn to Him and He's the Savior. I find being captured by the God in Colossians, it says that God is the one who reconciles us. He's the one who forgives us. I find being captured as I turn to Him by those things helps me keep my course in God. I want to encourage you that even the forgiveness of sins begins with seeing what He has done. I've seen many struggle to actually receive forgiveness. And it's often because they're subjectively trying to feel their own forgiveness, or they're so aware of the shortcomings, they can't see what God has done. Colossians 1 verse 18, it speaks about God being, don't go there, God being pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace by His blood shed on the cross. It means that God's been satisfied, the Father's satisfied that the blood of Christ is enough for us to be forgiven. It's a very powerful thing. I'm a second-hand car salesman. Really, I'm a car rental owner, but we sell and buy a lot of cars. Someone pulls my leg every now and then and says, you're just a second-hand car salesman. But I've bought and sold thousands of cars, literally. And there's always a moment when you sell a car where the buyer offers you enough for you to be satisfied and you willingly release. If you look up, so your repentance, you look up and you see the Father has been satisfied that the blood of Christ is enough. You're positioning yourself, and if you keep on looking, you're positioning yourself to know the receiving of the forgiveness of sins. Very, very powerful reality. And there are times where I say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I need help in receiving this forgiveness. Often I can look and it's like there's this block. And if you're someone that wrestles with your own condemnation and your own thoughts, often we have to humble our thoughts before God and look up, look away from ourselves, look up and value what God values and agree with him so we can receive. And so I want to encourage some of you that are, I don't want to use the word weak, but you like me, where you're vulnerable to come into self-condemnation. Sometimes we have to stand in awe of God's forgiveness and look up. And everything in us wants to bow and say, no, I've just missed the mark. And there's truth to that. But it's actually to the glory of God, hear me, that you stand in the forgiveness that he's offering. This is not about you. The redemption of God and the Father being satisfied by the blood of Christ is actually about God himself and his glory. And so for you to stand in his forgiveness fully is actually a reflection of who he is, not you, an extension of the glory of God as you do that. It's a beautiful, powerful truth. And those who aren't aware of the need for forgiveness, sometimes you need to come before God and allow the Spirit of God to make you aware of possibly where you need forgiveness. And so you need a different working of the Spirit. And other times I find I need to confess my sin to a brother, because it's in confessing in my sin that I'm enabled to receive that forgiveness purchase. And so we never outgrow these foundations. Coming in for a landing. So we walk in him. Our repentance is not just in church or what I'm been describing now. But if we're turning to God, it touches every part of our lives as we walk in him. I find walking with him and being in him changes my work life. It changes the way I see my children. If you're a parent, it's very easy, depends on your temperament, but it's very easy to see where they're missing the mark. And that becomes your focus. I wonder what God is doing in their lives. I wonder what God's doing in your children's lives, and what does it look like for you to come into repentance with God and agreement with him when it comes to your children. What will you see? Will you be working with other things in their hearts? Or is it about your agenda only? So I find repentance with my relation with my children means I'm saying, Lord, what are you working with? And how can I strengthen them, not only focus on their weaknesses? How does it change my relationship with my wife or my husband? How does it change my working relationship? Repentance means we are in agreement with God. If you look at Genesis 1, it says that God took chaos and brought order. Sometimes repentance will be you cleaning up your garage. I would say that cleaning up your garage might be as powerful as having a prayer time. You know, getting your wheels aligned in your car and bringing a little bit of order to it might bring the kingdom of God to your car and stop you from having all those crises that you have in your life. And it's because you're learning repentance in other areas of your life. I mentioned marriage. Repentance has very powerful impact in the way we work out marriage. Very powerful. You might have heard me. Okay, I'm not really probably trying to land now. You might have heard me say that I speak about the gift of God's grace, and that forgiveness is actually God's work, and salvation is really in its purest form a gift, and that he alone reconciles us and he alone saves us. And I've seen many go, and rightfully so. It's a great relief when you realize that someone else saves you. But what they do is they go, my goodness, that's such good news. Like, all right, baby, take us home, Scotty. Like, this is great. And there is truth to that, is that salvation is so powerful that you come into a rest. But there is a real work in response to this glorious salvation. I'll give you an example. Lorna's love is a gift. I can't earn it. Her giving of herself is a gift to me. But trust me, it's been very hard work sometimes. Hard work. And deeply sacrificial. And if you've been married for a while, you know that if I just painted all the nice things, you know I'm not really telling the truth. There's beautiful reward in marriage. But marriage, I think, is, and maybe I've only been married once, so I'm not an expert on this, but it's almost designed to bring you to an end of yourself in certain areas or most areas of your life. So it's got this two-edged sword. It's a great reward, and it's really pricey and costly and exposes you. And yet it's a free gift. I want to say to you that, so I'm trying to swing the envelope now. I'm trying to swing the pendulum. It takes work to respond to God. You can't just listen to a preach and think you're going to grow up. Some of the men need to take a book of the Bible and study it. And then hear God. And be a listener. Like one of the things I've been sharing with the guys is, you know, we talk about quiet times, but the only one that talks is you. And we call it a relationship. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for someone who walks in Him. And so we need to learn to listen to the Lord and obey Him. I wonder if you've got the idea that coming to church is your duty. That's not your duty. This is the place where you come to hear the word so you can obey and please the Lord. It's a perspective change. So I think some of us need to throw quiet times away and actually start to learn to obey the Lord and dig our roots in Him. So what does that look like? I don't want to give it a boundary, but it does take effort. It takes effort to get into the word, to listen to God, to be part of church, but there's a great reward. So to build well, we need to keep on walking in Him, and there's certain things we never outgrow. Let's stand together. So before you think of all the things you're getting wrong, is it possible the Lord is encouraging you this morning? And would you listen to Him? So let's look up. Lift your hands. I felt the Spirit of the Lord move me this morning and say there's some that are Christians. They belong to me, but they've never experienced the forgiveness of sins. And for you to make an altar call for them to give your life to the Lord won't hit the mark for them. They've given their lives to me. But I want to impart to them the forgiveness of sins this morning. Would you see with the eyes of your heart that the Father has been satisfied by the blood of Christ? And Romans says that blessed is the man, and I'm assuming male, female, whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Lord, if there's someone like that this morning, I bless them to receive power in the forgiveness of sins. And if you, that person, I want you to say, Lord, yeah, that's me. I'll open my heart. Would the forgiveness of sins help me to receive the forgiveness of sins, even as, Lord, I agree with and accept your forgiveness.